What book are we starting today, man? Woo, what book did we finish?
Numbers.
What a good book that was, right?
It was.
Man, I'm telling you what, I have cut my grumbling in half. I have cut my grumbling way down after going through the book of Numbers. Amen? But we're going to be today in the book of John, the Gospel of John, series number one, and the title is, Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? You know what? Let me make it a little bit more personal. Because who is Jesus to you? Amen? Because let me be honest with you. It doesn't really matter who you think Jesus is. Because Jesus is who Jesus is. And whatever the world says or their opinion of who He is matters nothing to me. Amen? But what does the Bible say? And who does the Bible say that Jesus is? Amen? Listen to me. Listen to me if you're here today and you've never made that decision to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hear me. Today you will have the opportunity to affirm, reaffirm, or make a decision to what you are going to do with Jesus. Amen? And that is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. With the breaths that you take, with the heartbeats that your heart beats, there will never be a greater decision than the decision that you and I make about what we do with Jesus, man. If you made the right decision, say amen. Oh, man, thank you, Lord. Come on, that should excite you. All right, so we're going to be in the book of John. If you've got your Bibles, you can open it up. Where are we going to start? Chapter 1. Let's start in chapter 1. What do you think about that? So the Gospel of John was written by... Do you know it never mentions his name, though? But as you go through the book, and if you read through it, the disciple that Jesus loved, the one who leaned back on his bosom, then we can discern and decide. Pretty much, I'm 100% sure that John wrote this book. So it is written by John. It was most likely one of the last Gospels written. Most believe it was written while John was in Ephesus. Some believe he wrote it while he was on Patmos. But here's the deal. It was written sometimes towards the end of the first century. All right, so that would be really to a whole different generation of young believers that were coming up. You follow me? But John wrote this book with a purpose. And the purpose was to reveal or to convince people that Jesus was the Christ. Right? And you say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, it's a good thing you asked. I want to go to John chapter 20. Verses 30 through 31. Listen to what he says here. He says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written. Everybody say, but these are written. That you, everybody say, that me.
That me.
That ain't right English, is it? That I. Hey, we are from Texas. We can do that. But that sounds more like Arkansas, I'll be honest with you. All right. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name.
Amen.
So would it be fair to say that John has a purpose here? So as John is penning this book, by the way, he is penning it via the Holy Spirit, am I right? Because all Scripture is God-breathed, but he has a purpose in writing this book. And that purpose is so that you can believe in who and what Jesus has done for you. Amen? It's interesting, you know, as you go through the Gospels, it's interesting that each Gospel writer begins their Gospel in a different place, right? And the reason for that is because each Gospel shows us a different aspect of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you go to Matthew, you know Matthew starts with a genealogy. And a lot of people say, man, that stuff's boring. Not to me, it's exciting. Because it gives you all the way from Abraham to Jesus. And right through David. Come on. That's what Matthew does, right? Matthew is about proving that Jesus is the Messiah of the Old Testament. You follow me? So Mark opens up his gospel with the baptism of John. What a beautiful picture that is, right? I want you to picture this. Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. By the way, he was the voice crying in the wilderness. He was the one that came to prepare the way for the Lord. And he has Jesus in his arms, right? Because they're not sprinkling back then. Come on. They're dunking. Yeah. So he takes Jesus in his arms, right? And the Mark says, as he came up out of the water, it doesn't say heaven opened up. It said the heavens tore open. Come on, the heavens tore open, and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus, what? Like a dove. But wait a minute, there was a voice too, a voice from heaven crying out, "This is my Son, whom I love, and I am well pleased." What a beautiful picture of the Trinity, amen? Here you see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But if you go through the book of Mark, what you'll see is Mark is really pointing to and emphasizing and demonstrating the fact that Jesus came and is and was a servant. Amen? So Luke begins his gospel in a place you would never think he would begin his gospel, but with the introduction of Zacharias. And Zacharias was who? John the Baptist's father, right? So he begins and by the way, John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, but it's an odd place to begin it, but Luke emphasizes that Jesus came from Adam. So Luke goes all the way back to Adam. But in doing that, his emphasis, and he wants to demonstrate that Jesus came and is the perfect man. You see what I'm saying? That all these gospel writers begin their gospels in a different place because they all want to show us a different aspect of Jesus. Now John, his emphasis is that Jesus came from heaven. Amen? Amen? Demonstrating and wants to show us and emphasize that Jesus is God. Everybody say Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Boy, you got to get Jesus right, because if you got Jesus wrong, you got everything wrong. Yep. Amen? Yep. The gospel is the fourth gospel of what I call a fourfold gospel, right? Four voices giving four different pictures, right, or explanations or examples of who Jesus Christ is. It's important to understand, too, that there are not four gospels. There is one fourfold gospel. You follow me? All right. It would be wrong, too, to look at these gospels or look at the gospel of John and to think that these gospels tell the whole story, because John tells us that the whole story of Jesus Christ can never be complete. Let me show you what I mean in John chapter 21, verse 25. You say, "Pastor, you're reading all these verses in John way ahead. We're in chapter 1. Don't worry, you'll forget by then." Come on. Listen to verse 25 in chapter 21 of John. "Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that not even the whole world, that the whole world will not have room for the books that would be written." Amen? So don't think that these Gospels are a complete story of Jesus, because you can't even tell the complete story of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? What a blessing. All right, in the book of John, there are significant events that John doesn't even cover. All right, and I want to share a few of those with you, and then I want to kind of try to explain to you why. Jesus' birth, not in the book of John. Jesus' baptism, not in the book of John. Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, not in the book of John. Confrontation with demons. You can read through all 21 chapters and you won't find a place where he confronts a demon in the book of John. Jesus teaching in parables, not in the book of John. The Last Supper, not in the book of John. The agony of Gethsemane, not in the book of John. And the ascension, not in the book of John. Amen? These are some significant events, right? But here's what I want you to remember. The other three gospels were mainly... We're concentrated or focused on what Jesus did in Galilee. John's gospel is focused on what he did and said in Jerusalem. Are you following me? But let me ask you this. Do you think God can tell the story of his Son and not use these stories? Yes, because when John wrote, "Hey, I'm writing this with a purpose, and that purpose is so that you can see Jesus for who he is, and that by believing in him, You can have life in His name. God is the one saying that. Yeah, John is writing it, but that is God who is saying that. And if you've ever been through the book of John, you know it is a beautiful, beautiful book. In fact, a new believer or even an unbeliever, you know what book I'm going to send them to? Why? Because it's so simply written. So simply written. All right. There's seven I am statements in John. Oh, I am, I am, I am, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd of the sheep. I am the door. I am the light. You get it? The seven I am statements are in John here. The last nine chapters of John focus on a 1 week period. Hallelujah. That's a great week too, by the way. That's a great week, by the way. I can't wait to get there. So without further ado, let's just bust it open, right? But don't put the verse up yet. But if you know, without looking down at your Bible, what John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, just raise your hand. All right, here we go. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was with God in the beginning. All right, you're dismissed. There it is, right? Oop, oop, there it is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, He was with God in the beginning. That's all really we need to know, right? That's some good information. Such a powerful declaration here of the deity of Jesus Christ, right? And not only that, but spoken so plain and so straightforward that even a young person, a young child, could understand. That's why the book of John is so good for unbelievers or young believers, because that's the way it is written. So I want you to notice too, as John begins his gospel here, he goes back even further than Genesis. The book of Genesis, of course, is the beginning of all creation. In the beginning, what? God created. But God existed before that point, right? It ain't like God showed up at that very moment. God was before that. God was, and God existed even prior to Genesis chapter 1, did He not? So what is the Greek word for the word here? Well, I think I gave it up. Logos. The Greek word for the word word, that's kind of a tongue twister here, is the word logos. And John uses it as an unmistakable reference to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You follow me? If you're not, just hold on, man. So with a few simple statements, John declares that Jesus, like His Heavenly Father, has always existed before the beginning of time as you and I know it. Jesus was with God in the beginning because why? He is God and has always been God. So would it be fair? Listen to me. Would it be fair? Because John goes back to the infinite eternal past. Do you know what I mean by infinite eternal past? The Bible says God had no beginning and He will have no end. That boggles my mind. But listen to me. Let me explain it to you in a very simple way. The fact that you and I exist proves something has always existed. You follow me? Because if there ever was in an infinite eternal past nothing, then what would there still be?
Nothing.
So here's the deal too, and I tell you this all the time. If my mind and if my finite mind could explain to you the ways of God, well, He wouldn't be God. You follow me? I have what I have. But He is infinite, and I have this finite mind. You follow what I'm saying? But here's what I know. There is only one God, and He had no beginning, and He had no end. And the fact that I can look at myself in the mirror and understand that my eyes process, what, a million pieces of information per second, Doug, is that right? That proves that there has always been something. And I'm telling you this morning, that something is Jesus Christ. That's what I'm telling you. Woo! That's who that is. All right. So the words here and what they express are the entire foundation for the book of John. You get that, right? So if you don't understand these first two verses, you'll never fully receive what God has for you in the next 21 chapters. Are you following me? So would it be fair if I was to say this, if I was to put this up? In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God, and He was with God in the beginning. Would it be fair to say that? Absolutely, man. So who's your Savior?
Jesus.
Oh, man, what a beautiful picture. All right. So the relationship between God and Jesus is eternal, right? And believe it or not, it's intimately personal. You follow me? Because the words of Jesus are the words of God. The works of Jesus are the works of God. Are you following me? Jesus and God are one. It was Jesus who came in the flesh, come on, to show you and I the heart and the mind of God. You say, can you prove that, Pastor? Yes, I can. All right, I'm going to go pretty soon. I want to talk to you about John 14. By the way, one of my favorite chapters, anybody that knows me, John 14. It begins like this. If you don't know these verses, first three verses in John 14, write them down, go and memorize them. Because when you need encouragement, when you need to find that joy and get that peace back, all you got to do is read these three verses. And he says this, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to get you, to receive you unto myself, that where I am,
you may be also.
This is all just temporary. I don't care how bad it gets, how ugly it looks. I know in the depths of my soul God is preparing a place for me. You get that? It's my place. Mine. Nobody can take that from me. Nobody can take that from me. I didn't earn it. God gave it to me through the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, so after that verse, beginning in John chapter 14, verse 4, this is what happens after that. You know the way to the place where I'm going. So Jesus is talking to his disciples or apostles here, all right? Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Oh, one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture. I am the way. Jesus said, answered, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right? What an emphatic statement. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now, wait a minute. Did he say no one?
No one.
So, wait a minute. There's not many paths to God, many, many ways to God. There's only one way to God. No one comes to the Father except through me. Period. That's it. What's his name?
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. That's right. Let's look at verse 7. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. Who's speaking here? I never get tired of hearing that name. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Do you see what's going on here? Huh? Jesus says, if you've seen, he's really saying, hey, that's what he's saying. But he's talking to his disciples here, and he says, Philip, don't you even know me after I've been with you such a long time? And listen, I always tell you, there's some things in the Bible where you read and you say, you got to step back and say, hey, does that apply to me? Man, you've been with me for a long time, Jesus. Have I forgotten you? Do I know you today? Did I know you yesterday? Well, am I going to know you more tomorrow? Come on. Or have I let the world and the world's noise and the world come in around me and somehow, Father, Jesus, I've forgotten about you. I don't ever want that to be. I don't ever want that to be. And I hope you don't either. All right, let's pick it up. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Come on. Is that pretty a definitive statement? How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Amen? That speaks of an intimate personal relationship. That speaks, in my opinion, of a oneness. Amen? I want to read something to you from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Listen, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Whom He has appointed heir of all things, and through whom He also made the universe. Now listen to this, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things through His powerful word. Amen. Let me read something else to you. John chapter 10, the context there is Jesus says, I am the shepherd of the sheep, right? I am the good shepherd. He says in verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Do you follow me this morning? He says, I know them. It ain't about if you know Jesus. Come on, it ain't about if you know about Jesus, if you've heard about Jesus. The Bible says demons believe about Jesus and what? Shudder or tremble. The question is not about do you know Jesus. The question is, does He know you? That's the question. Does He know you? Can you go back to a time in your life when you come to Him and you came to Him broken and desperate? Because that's the only way you can come. I just want you to know. Knowing that you're a sinner and knowing that you have to pay for your sins. But He gave you a way out because He went to the cross and paid the penalty for your sins. And you come to Him and you say, Lord, Lord, I want to make You my Lord and Savior. Thank You for what You did for me on the cross of Calvary. Help me, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. That's the way you get to God, right? The Bible says you confess with your mouth. In the heart is where the transaction's done. Not in the mind and not by the words. You follow me, right? And listen, when that transaction is done in the heart, things change. Things change, man. That's the evidence that there has been a transaction. Yeah. Right? You get a receipt. What's the receipt?
The Holy Spirit.
Ooh. That's the thing that keeps you, well, walking kind of straight.
Straighter.
Right? Straighter. Thank you. Keeps you walking straighter, right? You're not going to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. But you do have to have a desire to be more like your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because that's what the Holy Spirit's job is to do. Amen. I want to read something to you from 1 John 5:20. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Listen real close. And so that we may know Him who is true. Speaking about God there. So it says here, we also know the Son of God has came, right, to give us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. Listen. And we are in Him who is true, talking about God, by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life.
Amen.
Son of a gun. Is it clear to you? Is it pretty clear to you? He is the true God and eternal life. So, just in these verses, man, what a beautiful picture that we get of Jesus and who Jesus is. So, Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. He and the Father are one, right? He is the true God in eternal life. Jesus, who is the Word, who was with God, is God in every aspect of the way. Let me finish reading John chapter 10, verse 27, all right? In verse 28. Can we go back to that? You got it? 10, 27 through 30? You there? My sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall... Some words just have such an impact, don't they? Never. You know what never means?
Never.
They shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. Now listen to this next part. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So wait a minute. Jesus is saying they can't be snatched out of my hand. And then he's saying they can't be snatched out of my Father's hand either. It's almost like you're in a double clutch. Protected in the hand of God. Now listen to the rest of this. I and the Father are one. So if you had any other inhibitions as to who God was, here in John chapter 10, verse 30, he says emphatically, what does he say? I and the Father are one. You say, there's only one God? Yes, there's only one God. He is in three persons, but there is only one God. Amen? Is the Holy Spirit God?
Yes.
Is Jesus God?
Yes.
Is God God?
Yes.
I want you to think about who was prevalent in the Old Testament. When God left, who came on the scene? When Jesus, before he left, he promised us something. And then when Jesus left, who came? But they're all God. Amen. With the same power, the same being, the same everything. All right, let's go on to verse 3. Through him all things were made, talking about Jesus. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So the Word, and the Word here is Logos, and we already decided that's Jesus, right? So Jesus created all things. Do you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
I want to read to you Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Now listen, verse 17. He is before all things. He is before all things. Amen. And in him all things hold together. His name is Jesus. And he is your Savior. Or he's not your Savior. And he wants to be your Savior. Amen. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning it says God created. In the beginning. Matter of fact, those five words are probably the most important words in the Bible. Because if you don't believe that, then none of your theology is going to be right. In the beginning, God created. But that word God, if you look it up in the original language, is Elohim. El means singular. Elohim means plural. So it's not talking about one God there. He's talking about more than one. Plural gods. You say, can you prove that? Yes, I can prove that. If you remember, when God is getting ready to make man, what did he say? He said, let us make God in our image. Amen? So in the beginning, God created. Jesus was there. So it says here that Jesus created all things. That's just further proof that God and Jesus are one. Amen? Yes. All right. Verse 4 and 5. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Come on. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So Jesus came to bring the glory of God's light, right, into the world. He came to bring light to a dark, dying world. You follow me? John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Listen to me, if you have Jesus, I know sometimes it looks dark, sometimes it feels dark, but it ain't dark. You need to start seeing things not through worldly eyes, but through the Holy Spirit and your spiritual eyes. Amen? Because no matter how bad it looks, it ain't that bad. You're still born again. You're still redeemed. All these promises still belong to you. He still prepared that place that you're going to go see. Come on! To be absent from the body is still to be present with the Lord. Come on! 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, hey, you shouldn't be excited about this fiery ordeal that has come upon you. Right? Man, what does he say in John 16:33? In this world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yeah, things are going to get tough. Sometimes they're going to get downright ugly. But listen to me, that doesn't change who God is, and that doesn't change any promise that God has made you. Come on. Amen. All right. It isn't that Jesus just offers light in life. I want you to know that. He is. He is the light of life. And that's why without Jesus, you are in darkness. The Bible says if you don't have Jesus, not only are you condemned already, come on, but you're on your way to hell. And hell is not a good place. We've been going over that on Wednesday night. And something just keeps coming back about hell. Well, the fire is never quenched. The worm never dies. And there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Praise the Lord that I will not ever, ever see that place. And I hope as well you will not either. The Bible says that light has come and darkness has not overcome it. You know why? Because darkness cannot overcome Jesus Christ. Darkness cannot overcome the light of God. Do you understand that? Oh, are you walking in the light this morning?
Amen.
Do you know what that means? I mean, do you know what that means to walk in the light, to have Jesus and to have that Holy Spirit, to walk in the light, that we don't have to walk in darkness anymore? Because we've been delivered from the darkness. Look what he said in John 12:46. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. What are you in the darkness for? He came so you shouldn't have to stay in the darkness anymore. Start seeing things through spiritual eyes and quit seeing things through human fleshly eyes. It'll change everything. It'll change everything. Let's look at verses 6 through 11. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Come on. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It's amazing. That's an amazing thing right there. That God, Creator God, came to the world, to the place, to the people that he created. The people that he actually made in his own image. And they didn't recognize him. They rejected him. You know what's even more interesting than that? When Jesus come upon somebody with an evil spirit, they recognized him. Huh? Have you come before the appointed time to torture us? Come on, send us into the pigs so that we don't have to go to the abyss. Right? The evil. The demons recognized him. Come on. Listen, you remember when he was on that ship and there was a storm going on? And the winds and the waves and all that? The winds and the waves recognized him because he said, "Peace be still." And what'd they do? I want you to know something this morning, man, that the rocks even know who he is. Right? Because Jesus said, "Hey, if my people stop praising me, I'll make these rocks cry out." Something else. You remember when Jesus, when he was going to, just before he went in to that triumphal entry, and he told his apostles, a couple of his apostles, "Go into town, you'll find a donkey tied up there." What was special about that donkey? Anybody remember? You know what? Everybody always asks me, what does that mean? Why is it a donkey that's never been ridden? Here's the deal. It had never been broke. It had never been broke. So I want you to know something. Jesus got on that donkey, and that donkey knew who Jesus was. That's why that donkey didn't buck. That's why that donkey didn't run. That's why that donkey didn't do anything stupid. Because even that ass knew who Jesus was. Come on, you follow me? Man, he came into his own. That's you and me, man. But they didn't recognize him. That shows how deeply fallen human nature rejects God. Sometimes at its deepest level. You get it? I was there one day. Come on, you been there? Where you people talked about God and you thought they were just, I can't even say those words. Crazies? No, that's. You know what I'm talking about, though. But you know what? Man, God is good. God is great. God is real, and He has proved that to me beyond any doubt that I have in my mind. Amen. All right, let's read the last verses we're going to go over today, verses 12 through 18. Now listen to me very closely, because it ended with, "He came to them, and His own did not receive Him." All right? So clearly there were going to be people who rejected Him. I want you to remember something. Jesus also said the way to heaven is what? Narrow. But the way to destruction is what? And many find it. And He says about the narrow path, only a few people find it. Oh, I hope you're one of the few. I pray today you're one of the few. And I don't pray that you know Jesus. That's not what I'm praying. I pray that He knows you. I pray that you can make a decision and that transition in your heart, that transaction in your heart. Amen? When you decide to wholeheartedly trust in Jesus and the sacrifice of the cross on the Calvary. Because it's important. Because listen, right here. "Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Are you a child of God this morning?
Yeah.
You know what? One day you're gonna be so ecstatic. You are, man. You are. "Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God."
Amen.
"The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." You know how important that statement is right there, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? Because here's what I want you to know. That Savior that you call Jesus, He is God. And I want you to know something. He, because He loved you, stepped out of heaven and put on flesh and came to the very people who would reject Him and not receive Him. Are you following me? And He, being the perfect man, being sinless, being the Lamb of God, was able to fulfill the law. Remember, He came to fulfill it. That's what He did, the whole law, and He did. And because He did that, He went to the cross. And there He was tortured in agony. Matter of fact, He was beaten before He even got there, humiliated and spit on. But He went to that cross and He allowed Himself, and I say allowed Himself, to be nailed to that cross through His hands and His feet. And on that cross, man, He said, "It is finished." Listen, for Jesus to say that tells me something. It was a plan. And at that point, that part of the plan was finished. And what He did there was paid the penalty for all sins. You get that, right? So the people who end up in hell, they're going with their sins paid for. They just never received the sacrifice of Jesus Christ so that that blood of Jesus Christ would cover, not atone, remove their sins. Are you following me? "We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning Him. He cried out, saying, 'This is the one I spoke about when I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of His fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given." You know what grace is? Because if you don't know what grace is, then you don't understand what the cross means. And you don't understand the cross. Because the cross is an absolute picture, absolute illustration of what grace is. Amen? "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And listen to this last verse. "But no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God." Amen? "And is in close relationship with the Father, has made Him known." So who is Jesus? He's got a bunch of names in the Bible, doesn't he? He's got Chief Cornerstone, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, Alpha and the Omega, Emmanuel, bread of life, light of life, light of the world. He is the bridegroom, am I right? The good shepherd, the Lamb of God. He is the true vine, and the list goes on and on and on. And we've even learned that Jesus is the radiance and the exact representation of God's being. He and the Father are one. He is the true God and eternal life. Jesus is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, who created all things, who was with God and is God in every sense of the word. So to ask you this one final time, who is Jesus? Jesus is God. And you can't get that wrong. And you have to understand that as we get into this book of John. You have to understand who Jesus was. And listen, you have to understand that He was God. And something else you have to understand is that these things that we're going to go over in these 21 chapters of John were written for a purpose. And that purpose was so that people could believe and He could convince people that Jesus Christ is God. He is the Savior of the world who stepped out of heaven and took on flesh to pay the penalty for all of our sins. Amen. If you would stand with me. What a great beginning. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning. Amen. I don't know about you, man, but I am so thankful this morning of who my Savior is. Because I want you to know, not everybody has the same Savior. You hear me? But we got it right. We got it right. How do you know you got it right? Amen. That's right. That's right, Hal. Because when you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart and that transaction's done, God gives you a receipt that He promised to give you. And I think the Bible calls it what? A deposit? Guaranteeing what is to come. So you say, Pastor, how can I know I'm saved? It's simple. You have God living in you. You hear me? Because that's what God does. He gives you a receipt for the transaction that was done in your heart. And that receipt is a part of Himself. Son of a gun, man. What a deal! How much does it cost? Didn't cost you anything. But it cost Him everything. And He did it for this one reason. One reason. God was motivated just for one reason. Because He loved you. Because He loved you. Can you even fathom that kind of love? Oh, let's pray, man, and we'll open up the time of invitation. Father, we just come before You this morning. Lord, what a joy it is to begin this book and this book of John that You have inspired, Lord, and breathed on John to write, Lord, and we are so thankful for it, and we're thankful for what we've learned this morning, Lord, and thank You for making it very plain to us, Lord, that our Savior is God. And in understanding that, Lord, it makes what He did for me even more special. Why would a holy, righteous, just God come and be tortured and nailed to a cross, made fun of and mocked and spit on? For me, Lord, I do understand why. Because You love me. And Father, You love everyone who can hear my voice this morning. And Father, I just pray that as we open up this time of invitation, it's a time that we can all come and be thankful and renew our understanding of just what You did for us because You love us. But Father, if there's anybody here, oh Lord, please, Speak to them. Give them the opportunity to come and bow and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. To understand what He did for them because He loved them. We love You, Lord. We do. Forgive us all where we have failed You. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.